Our readings are for the occasion of St. Michael and all angels. Our first reading is from the book of Daniel. We'll read from chapter 10 and 12. It is found on page 953 in your pew Bibles. And we read Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. We continue at chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. A second reading is from Revelation chapter 12. It's on page 1327. We read Revelation 12 beginning at verse 7. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1110. And we read Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your lesson from Revelation today. The picture we saw of heaven and the nature of the battle that was going on there, as mentioned in these words. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." This is our text. So what is it exactly that the devil does? And what was the battle going on in heaven? It was Satan standing up in heaven and making accusations against us. And unfortunately, they were true. Each and every sin that we have committed, each and every day of our lives, he could stand there, look at God and say, "You must condemn them. They're guilty." And that battle raged and raged until the blood of the Lamb came along. And God could then therefore say to Satan, "Be gone. The price has been paid. The sins are atoned for. And these people that you accuse day and night of being guilty, they've been given the righteousness of the obedient Son of God. You can accuse them no longer." Thus, the battle in heaven was over, and the devil was thrown down to earth. But in a sense, that was not the end of the battle. Though from heaven's point of view, the battle is done, the victory is won, it still goes on here on earth in the hearts of people. For Satan still prowls, seeking people to destroy with the power of his accusations. And unfortunately, here on earth, he still has many who believe him. What do you believe about yourself? That is a critical question. I heard an interesting story this last week listening to the radio. Some of you might have heard it as well. It's about the inventor of flaming hot Cheetos. Does anybody here eat those things? Yeah, I'd never heard of them. You know, I'm not one of those people that likes hot stuff. I might have seen them in the grocery store, but, you know, one just short gaze and I'd say, not for me. I'd walk by. But apparently, some people like this stuff. Anyway, it's interesting regarding who the inventor of flaming hot Cheetos is. A man by the name of Richard Montanez. His story is quite fascinating. He left school in the fourth grade. He was uneducated. His family lived in poverty. As he himself later on would describe, he had a PhD in being poor, hungry, and dumb. And one day he got a job as a janitor at Frito-Lay. And while probably most people would describe him as poor, hungry, and dumb, Elise had a parent and a grandparent, a father and grandfather, who tried to help him see himself differently. Every day when he would go off to his work, his grandfather would say, "You make those floors shine. You want people to notice you? Make them notice you." There are people who would describe his profession as being just a janitor. He didn't see it that way. There were people that would say he worked for Frito-Lay. But again, his parents would say, "You don't just work for them, that's your company. Get to know the business. Find out how it works." And so he did. He saw that not as just a place to earn a living at $4 an hour. He saw it as a place that was his own, something to take pride in, something to learn about. And he did. He learned about the machines that made things like Cheetos. And one day, one of the machines broke down, and there was all kinds of Cheeto puffs laying around that hadn't been coated yet. And he asked if he could have some of them, and they said, "Well, we're just going to throw them away anyway." So he bought a bunch of them home, and he began to experiment, putting on his own coatings. One day, he happened upon chili. And his family and his friends loved it. And so he picked up the phone and he called the CEO of PepsiCo, which owned Frito-Lay. I'm just wondering here, how many of you think you have the right to pick up the phone and call the chairman of a billion-dollar company? You know, I'll bet if he had asked anybody about whether or not he should do that, he'd have been told he was crazy. But he says, "I didn't think there was anything wrong in doing it. It was my company. Why shouldn't I call him if I have a good idea?" And he did. And believe it or not, he got through. And the chairman of PepsiCo, which, by the way, they also own Quaker Oats, I believe, gave him 2 weeks to put together a presentation in front of several executives. And the things that I would never eat, flaming hot Cheetos, were born. And apparently other people do like him. The man is now a millionaire and an executive officer at Frito-Lay. And he runs around encouraging people by telling his story. Which comes down to this. He didn't see himself the way other people see him. And because of that, if you will, he now has abundant treasures. You know anybody that sees themselves as being worthless, with no plan or purpose for their life? You know people who are haunted by their failures and their sins of the past, who think they have no future because of what their past was, who wallow in self-pity. That's Satan at work. That's him using his power to accuse, which he does day and night. And I'm quite confident that each and every one of us know people like I just described. And every now and again, maybe that even describes us. But that's not a true description of our lot in life. You are holy and precious, bought with the blood of the Son of God. You know, in just a few minutes, we're going to be coming forward for Holy Communion. The Son of God himself came to this world, took on human flesh. Now, as you'll hear me say again in a few minutes, as we distribute the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll hear the words, given and shed for you. How precious are you? No matter what sins you may have committed in the past, no matter how many times you might have failed, God says, don't worry about it. I have that paid for. And you know all that junk that you have built up in your life? I can use it for good. Scripture abounds with examples, probably the best of which is the Apostle Paul, that murderer of Christians who ended up writing most of our New Testament. Yes, Satan has been cast down from heaven. Yes, the war there, if you will, is over and the victory has been proclaimed, but there's still people here on this earth who don't believe it, who don't know about it. And it is the task that God has not given to angels, but to you and to me, to go out and tell people the truth, the real truth about themselves and what they are. Not the truth that Satan would have us believe. Not the truth that keeps on dragging along our past with us. Not the truth that keeps us moaning and groaning about how bad our life is. Not a truth that's blind to the blessings that we have because we focus on one or two things that have gone wrong. I shared this story several months back, but it's such a great one. My wife was working in the candy aisle over at Hy-Vee. And as often occurs, a customer came in and they wanted a particular piece of candy, and it was out of stock. You wouldn't believe the things my wife hears when that occurs. The moaning and the groaning. But then one day this one woman came in, and after she was informed that that one particular candy she wanted wasn't there, she said, oh, that's all right. I'm so blessed. There's so many other things that I can pick from. And after my wife picked her jaw off the floor, she thanked her. Yeah, do things go wrong in our life? Yeah. Can God use them to bring about blessings? Yeah. Are we daily surrounded with all that we need to carry out the work that God has given us on this earth? Absolutely. But Satan would tell you no. He'd say, you don't have enough. Your life is worthless. And without Christ, he'd be right. But he has been conquered in the blood of the Lamb. The God who made you has also redeemed you. He has you in his heart. He has a plan for your life. And even though you keep on trying to mess that plan up, he can work with that too. The old accuser has been thrown down. But God grant that we set his accusations aside in our own life and live that life rejoicing in what God has given to us and in the treasures that await us and all whose names are written in the book. But let us also remember there are a lot of people in our own lives who don't see things that way, who still believe not the word of God, but the word of the devil as he describes our lives to us. By our testimony, God grant that we can help them to learn to see themselves and their life in the new way that God has given us through the blood of the Lamb. And one day they may share in the treasures and the glory that he has laid up for all those who put their faith and trust in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.